Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. It is a Sunday evening. The All-Star game has taken place. Team LeBron took down Team Giannis. A LeBron James team coming back against a Stephen Curry team. Not really. It's kind of a not really an original storyline there, right? That was a lot of fun, though. That was one of my favorite All-Star games in quite a while. Adding Dirk and Wade to that and getting the kind of legends feel for it without taking up the roster spot of somebody who maybe deserved to be there a little bit more. I like that as a touch. I thought the game overall was played really, really well. Giannis is a monster. Kevin Durant, also a monster. Kevin Durant has almost become underrated, I think. I think we're reaching that point where it's you know, everybody kind of points to him being annoying off the court and doing the most annoying thing he could have done professionally and going to an already great Warriors team. You know, all of that stuff kind of comes together and you think of him as mostly annoying, but then he actually gets out there and starts going off, and I can't imagine there are many more hopeless feelings than a defender on an island having to guard Kevin Durant when Durant has it going. He's incredible. So a lot of fun, though. Team tampering, the future Lakers team comes out with a win, and that's all that really mattered. I'm going to answer your guys' questions, so you guys have a ton. There's stuff about the trade, the Zubats trade, the Anthony Davis trade. There's plenty of stuff in here, so let's just dive right in. First question here comes from Vontae35. Could Zubats have been traded because he was gruntled with being in trade rumors, i.e. his glad to be somewhere unwanted comments? The I'm glad to be somewhere unwanted thing is pretty... That's like the status quo. Anytime a player gets traded, they like to say that kind of thing, and that's how they get themselves amped up and ready to play for their next team. So I wouldn't put too much stock into that. What I do think, or you know, Pete and I talked on Friday's show a lot about, the first segment was basically about the reasoning for the Zubats trade. It still doesn't make any sense. There are very few ways it can explain that actually do make any sense. And the one that we were given, basically, that the Lakers couldn't sign him and JaVale was moping and they needed to move Beasley. Like, none of that stuff really seemed to make any very much sense. And he's a Clipper now, and they're really happy to have him. Next question here comes from Ozor Card. It's a longer question, so I'll just sum it up. Basically, they're asking if this season signing LeBron is really worth it, given what the Lakers gave up in terms of opportunity cost and losing a couple of the kids along the way and the different expectations that pop up. I still think you do it. I still think you sign LeBron and you see if you can make it work. This is only year one, and this year has probably gone about as poorly as you could possibly think it might, both from an injuries perspective, the signings not really working out, though that was probably pretty predictable, and so you can't allow that to sway your analysis of it too far. Though I do think there is something to people being invested in this long-term rebuild, investing themselves into the kids that the Lakers had drafted and looked like they have a pretty bright future. So I kind of sort of understand that kind of takeaway here. But it's still LeBron. And if the Lakers go on a crazy run here over the second half of the season and squeak into the playoffs because LeBron went ballistic and Lonzo came back and was as impactful as he can be and everything broke in the Lakers' way, then I think you kind of take that outcome of the season and you see what comes over the next few years. Next question here comes from Magic Nabil. Great show. Anthony keeps coming up with content somehow. And is there on a daily podcast going all through the ups and downs, frustrations? Oh, man, he can get frustrated. Yep, I can. And triumphs with you. Guest Pete and Harrison are always a treat. Thanks for all the kind words. I appreciate that. Question. If you absolutely had to bet what the Lakers roster looks like next year, what would be your guess? I think the Lakers have a star, whether that's Anthony Davis, whether that's, you know, Kawhi, whatever, LeBron, and then they fill out their roster with a bunch of title chasers, basically. So I think they go with the two-star strategy. They kind of sort of meet Magic's expectations in that respect, and you fill out the roster from that point forward. I think there's also probably a couple of the kids still around in this scenario, but you never know. You never know how this goes. Next, let's take a quick second, and when we come back, I will continue answering your guys' questions. We have one about how many wins I think the Lakers can rack up this season and all of that good stuff. So stick around. All right, so this question comes from BronFan31. Thanks for responding, and don't worry, I'll keep all future questions concise. Like for today, I have a pretty straightforward question. How many games can the Lakers win this season, and what are their chances in the playoffs? Congrats on the baby. Thanks. Best wishes to you and your family. Appreciate that. I think they've finished with about 45 wins. That means they would go 17-8 for the rest of the season, and that, you know, I think that gets them into the playoffs. I think that just squeezes them in. In the actual playoffs, I think they're pretty well set up. But look, I there is legitimate doubt about whether or not this team might make the playoffs. And it's not unearned, that doubt. The Sacramento Kings improved at the trade deadline. The Clippers, you know they're going to want to spoil the Lakers season in some way, shape, or form. So the Lakers have their work cut out for them to squeeze into the playoffs. If they do that, though, and they're in that 7 or 8 range, if they don't go up against the Warriors in the first round, I think the Lakers get out of the first round. But if they do wind up facing off against the Warriors in that first round in a 1-8 matchup, I think the Lakers probably get put away pretty quickly. So we'll see, though. We'll see. And look, if Lonzo, this is, I think, this is going to sound like a crazy hot take, but I felt more confident in the Lakers improving with Lonzo coming back. I feel more confident in that than I felt about them immediately taking off as soon as LeBron came back. I think there's legitimate gripes in the locker room right now that they really have to get by. They really have to move on from all of the things that they heard about each other, and the veterans who I was told are all good leaders and the type of people that you want your young guys to be around. Those guys have to step up at some point here and actually make the Lakers a better team. Whether or not they do that, I don't know, but Lonzo needs to get back. He needs to get healthy, and he needs to stay healthy if the Lakers want a chance of making it to the finals. Or not the finals, the playoffs. All right, next question here comes from DC Moore, 1990. Sorry, it's a longer one. You should have touched on this last mailbag, but asking anyway, who do our young core get no... Well, why do our young core get no love? Examples being Lonzo versus Ben Simmons, B.I. versus Tatum. Ben Simmons, honestly, not a big fan, can't shoot, and is not a great defender from what I've watched. He's actually a really good defender. Yet he is a quote-unquote star in the media's eyes. Lonzo is a streaky shooter, great defender, and can pass just as well, but is a bust. Okay player. So I've talked about this, and it just kind of keeps on going there from the other guys that are in the analysis of the national media. I can't really speak for how the Lakers are regarded. What it comes down to is I try to stay as unbiased as I possibly can. And if I see things that I like in a player, I'm going to point those things out. If I see the things that I don't like in a player, I point those things out, and I kind of handle that the same way with all of the guys out there, except for Celtics. I'm just never going to like a Celtics player. That said, I think when it comes to the Lakers, their failings are in such predictable ways. Like, this front office thing is something that a lot of people saw coming, that the lack of experience would eventually come back to bite the Lakers. That this is something that a lot of people saw coming, and because it's playing out that exact way, people are a lot happier to jump on that criticism and be loud with that criticism. Same goes for the young guys. Like, Lonzo Ball is somebody who a lot of people predicted, yeah, he's not going to be able to shoot consistently. He's kind of got a weird game. He has to fit. And when people are right about that kind of thing, they're going to be extra loud about telling everybody how they were right. So I think for what the Lakers have to do, or for in order for, you know, the Lakers to get proper credit and the young guys to get analyzed in a way that is at least closer to fair, they have to prove to people that they were wrong, and to an incredible extent. And I don't think the Lakers have done that quite yet. And look, I all I can speak to is how I feel about these guys and what people say about them nationally. I guess it doesn't really matter. You know, you're listening to the show. You're listening to. You can have your own takes about the young guys that you want to have too. Those things matter a lot more than, you know, Chris Mannix's takes that tend to be very Boston slanted. Next question here comes from Vet57. Who do you think realistically will be the next Lakers head coach? After the horrendous Hawks loss, I sadly can't longer support Luke any longer as the leader of our team on the sidelines. Players weren't perfect either, but this was a truly embarrassing loss, even with a decent enough performances from LBJ, Ingram, and Kuzma. I like Monty Williams, but is there any chance he would leave the Sixers? Monty Williams would leave the Sixers in a heartbeat if it was for a head coaching gig. So I think he's a possibility, but the name that I keep hearing and you're going to hear a lot about is Jason Kidd, and I don't think he would be a very good coach. That's really all I can say on that one. Last question before the break. CM March asks, given how the team has gone through injuries and trade speculation, why do you keep expanding the narrative of Luke Walton is at fault? The front office has proven to be poor at everything but signing LeBron. LeBron himself has a poor record when trying to play GM. Front office plus LeBron making decisions does not equal what's best for the Lakers. Why stick to LeBron's timeline? Lakers should build a team with Luke and the young core and hope to peak in 3 to 5 years. LeBron isn't a sure bet anyway next year with AD. Build a team that can dominate for years, not go all in for two possible runs, which would both be unlikely. LeBron is a Laker. The Lakers are not going to trade LeBron. So any takes that start with the Lakers should prioritize the kids or anybody other than LeBron, like, it's a non-starter. It's just not going to happen. In terms of why I apparently continue to blame Luke, it's like I've said a few times. He was dealt a tough hand and hasn't made the best of that hand. There are things that he needed to do better if he wanted to be successful. And even still, even if he does those things, it's not a guarantee that he's successful with this team. But, you know, when you look at, if you were to actually divvy up a pie here, I would probably say that the front office deserves most of the blame. Luke deserves a healthy chunk of the blame, and LeBron deserves a good healthy chunk of the blame. And you know, when things like this season, when seasons like this happen, it's because a ton of stuff went wrong. One of those things was Luke Walton not living up to the promise that he showed, or maybe that people believed in when he was hired as a head coach. We'll see if he grows into something more than what he is right now. We'll see if he learns from some of his shortcomings here as the Lakers coach. But for right now, he's a flawed coach, and those flaws have really hurt the Lakers. Next question here comes from, Davin112 wants to know who should the Lakers' next head coach be. They want to know if it should be Brian Shaw. Brian Shaw isn't a good coach. I'm sorry, everybody, but that's not going to turn out well for the Lakers. in my opinion, the guy who I don't even, there isn't a name out there that I really care about significantly for the Lakers' next head coach. All I care about is the process by which they find this person. If they cast a wide net and you see all kinds of people come in and interview for the gig and you see this process take longer than it did to hire Pelinka or to hire Magic, that's all I care about. Because then I can at least feel confident that the front office followed the right steps to find this person. That's really all I care about. Who that person might be, whatever. But just show me you're capable of good process once, and then continue to build from there. We are going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, I'm going to keep answering your questions, and there are a lot of them. So rapid fire time coming up here in a bit. All right, next question here comes from Isaac Snook. How good do you think the Lakers would be if they had LeBron, Lonzo, Kuzma, Ingram, Randall, and Lopez as their main guys? Also, which team is better, this year's Lakers or last year's Cavs? Last year's Cavs are better. The pieces that they had around LeBron fit better than the ones that are around LeBron right now. How good would a team with LeBron, Lonzo, Kuzma, Ingram, Randall, and Lopez be? They would be better than that Cavs team, than last year's Cavs. And I'd probably have that team as like the third best team in the West. I think the Nuggets are for real. Obviously, you have the Warriors, and the Lakers would be there at that kind of OKC, Utah-ish level, Houston level of team. That's where the Lakers would be. And that'd be a really good team, you know, a really fun team. And I'd get to watch Julius Randle again. That'd be a lot of fun. Next question here comes from LA240825 wants to know if Lonzo comes back from his ankle injury and he plays really well alongside LeBron and plays the way he was when he got injured, does that help him in keeping a roster spot throughout the summer and help the Lakers have to keep them at him out of trade talks? Thanks, I love your show. Keep it up. Thanks. I don't think there's anything that any of the current Lakers can do to get themselves out of trade talks this year. There isn't a good enough player with the Lakers where you say, nope, keep him no matter what, right? That's kind of, it's unfortunate, and it's kind of callous to say that, but I think that's where they're at. In terms of Lonzo in particular, I could see the Lakers keeping him because it was Magic who drafted him. If Lonzo comes back and helps the Lakers get all the way to a playoff thing, or a playoff series, and maybe has a really good playoffs, then you know maybe Magic becomes reluctant to include him in a trade. But he'd have to really, really show out. And I don't know if he is capable of that right now. Next question here comes Maxim McNasty Hands Never Ashy. There you go. Hey, Anthony, coming off the show before the All-Star break, who are your personal favorite five role players in Lakers history? My personal favorites are Nick Van Exel, Ronny Turiaf, Kareem Rush, Derek Fisher, and Rick Fox. All right, so my favorite role players, if we're counting not Hall of Famers, right, that's kind of how we're defining this. I think you got to go with Big Shot Rob is a really, really good one. Derek Fisher is an all-timer who would have his number retired if the Lakers didn't have their rule of you have to be a Hall of Famer to have your number retired. Lamar Odom is an all-timer for me. Michael Cooper is a coup. You know, he's incredible. Like guys like that. Those are the Shannon Brown. Pete and I talked about last time. I thought Shannon Brown. Like the Lakers probably don't win a championship without a guy like Shannon Brown. And those are. This is kind of my bummer, or how it's an unfortunate thing about this current Lakers team is that they don't really have that guy. I can't really get invested in a role player for the Lakers because everybody is so obviously available in any kind of trade. So I hope at some point one of these guys develops into that type of role player. But you know, it's just, it's way too obvious that Magic wants and LeBron wants a lot of them gone just so that they can get the right superstar in there. I hope that changes, though. Next question here comes from Vujicic fan. Fun theory. Just want to hear your opinion. Pete Zayas takes a job with the Lakers as a film guy, moves up the ranks just like Eric Spoelstra. One day becomes head coach, leads the Lakers to a championship in 2030, LeBron James Jr. Finals MVP. Pete would never do that because he doesn't want to be on camera. But look, if there is somebody out there who is smart enough to do that kind of thing, it's Pete. And we're really blessed to be able to have him on the show twice a week. Next question comes from 175 Will. Who are the players we are looking to get in the buyout market? Ray Allen needs some more three-point shooting, or is Bullock going to pull enough weight these last couple months? I'm excited about Bullock. I think he's going to be a really good pickup for the Lakers. In terms of buyout guys, I don't think Ariza's going to get bought out, so I don't think he's an option. You're probably looking at Melo. Not getting Markieff Morris was kind of a blow for the Lakers, I can't lie. He would have been really good as a bigger forward who could kind of muscle guys around a little bit. The Lakers need a little bit more attitude, I think, on their team, and he would have provided some of that. Beyond that, though, any shooter or any point guard, I think, is that's the type of player the Lakers should be looking at getting. Next question here comes from Big Fridge 21. Hey, Anthony, big fan of the pod and all your Lakers insight. Following you on Twitter, I've noticed you've become intensely negative over the last couple weeks when it comes to the Lakers and especially Magic. I thought it would be valuable for you and us as fans to... My screen went blank. There we go. Sorry. To ask what the positives for this team were the first half. Here are a few of mine. LeBron is a Laker. Awesome. B.I. and Lonzo becoming elite defenders. Pretty good. Kuzma improving as an all-around basketball player, passing and defense. A win over the class of the NBA on the biggest stage thus far this season. Talking about Christmas. Thanks again for all of the content, Caleb. I'm not... very good at bullshitting. I'm really not. If I don't like something, I'm going to make it known. And over the last, since 20 games, there hasn't been very much positive to point to. All of the positives that Caleb here lists are very they're great to bring up. But the Lakers over the last 20 games or so haven't been all that positive. And if things do turn around, I'll be the first person to mention them. I hope that they turn around. I want them to turn around because I really care deeply about this team. But what I'm not going to do is get on here and provide PR for the Lakers. They get plenty of that from the people that they pay to offer up public relations. Last few questions here. As we get ready to call it a night. This is from Groove. All-star question. So I was pleasantly surprised to see legends of the three-point shooters in the three-point shootout on All-Star weekend, which got me thinking, wouldn't it be great to have a contest with retired legends, i.e. Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, etc., and the winner of out of those guys go against the winner of the present day's contest? What do you think of that, or what similar thing would you like to see on All-Star Weekend? P.S. That was a really good cup check impersonation you did the other night. Had me laughing.
Thank you. I'm pretty proud of that. Mitch Kupchak talks like Dumbledore if Dumbledore was purposely trying to put you to sleep.
But in terms of like the Legends thing, watching legends play sports is actually more sad to me than anything. I remember there was a celebrity game and Dominique Wilkins was playing in it, and he got the ball on a breakaway and couldn't dunk. Like he couldn't get up. I think he missed the dunk. And I remember watching that like, God, this is sad. I don't need to watch that. I turned that game off. I watched some Dominique highlights and I felt better about myself. But legends and stuff, it rarely ends very well. If you were to do something like that, you'd have to curve it so that those legends have some type of an advantage that the current pros have. Here's the thing. A lot of these current pros, especially as it pertains to shooting, are just better than the legends. It's just objectively true. They're getting these shots up at insane rates. They're putting them in at insane rates. And if you were to get, a legend or somebody we considered a legend and try to pair them against any of these shooters right now, it wouldn't go very well for the legend. You'd have to say that their shots count for an extra point or something like that. QBreezy12 wants to know, are we at the point in the AD saga where we just ignore everything until the summer? I mean, yeah, probably, right? Unless something huge actually happens, and there's very little that could actually happen right now, then this story is pretty much done evolving until this summer. If we get something like, you know, Danny Ainge doesn't think that AD is capable of playing 82 games or something, somebody says or does something that dumb, then okay, the story changes a little bit. But I just don't see that happening. So focus on the Lakers roster that they have right now. Focus on this playoff chase and see where they wind up. It's going to be fun. It's been a long time since we've all cared about the playoffs and had a legitimate chance at the playoffs. So this playoff chase and watching what the Clippers do and watching what the Kings do on a nightly basis, that's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to enjoying that. Last question here comes from Laker Nation Forever. Hey, Anthony, love the show. Kind of a three-part question. What is your favorite Lakers moment post-Kobe, pre-LeBron? Mine is Larry Nance Jr. dunk on KD. That's a good one. What do you think the Lakers record will be after the All-Star break? Last question, when are you not watching Lakers basketball and doing the podcast? What is something you love doing with your off time? So I will answer that last part first. I love going to concerts. I'm not talented at all when it comes to music. I can't sing for crap. I don't play an instrument. My wife is really good on the piano, but I'm not very good at that stuff. But I love live music. So that's my favorite, probably, I guess, quote unquote, hobby. I also play a lot of golf. I'm okay at golf. Not great, not bad. It's just a fun thing to kind of challenge myself with. Favorite post-Kobe, pre-LeBron moment would probably be that D'Angelo Russell game winner at Summer League. That was wild. You had the whole place rocking. Actually, all of the summer leagues. If there's a trip that I would tell you guys to go on if you really enjoy the show, it's Summer League. It's a blast to go to. There's a ton of Laker fans out there. I like going because I get to talk basketball with some of my friends until the sun comes up. So that's a lot of fun. So I would just, yeah, any summer league, I would probably say, is my favorite Lakers moment over the last, I guess, five or whatever years. And let's see, there was another one. Oh, what do I think the Lakers record will be after the All-Star break? Like I said earlier, 17-8, that puts them at 45 wins to finish the season. And I think that gets them into the playoffs. That's my guess, but it's going to be tough. The Lakers have a tough record here. They need to get healthy and we'll see how things go. That'll do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. I really think that we're going to have a guest for you guys tomorrow that you guys will really enjoy. Pete and I are going to walk you through the season in review podcast. That'll probably be on Wednesday. And then the Lakers are back on Thursday, and we get ready for this crazy playoff chase. So enjoy the rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.